Are we ready?
Yep.
Yeah, I guess we're ready. Another edition of Radio Waves. My name is Mike Stark.
And I am Richard Wagoner.
And here we are with this week's column, which we're celebrating the 100th year of radio for KNX 1070.
Yes.
And in your column, you've laid out the entire history. So yes. Give
but
us
it's
a...
But it's not the 100th anniversary.
Yeah, you went into that. Explain that first, and then give us an overview of the history.
It's kind of an interesting story, and it all fits, but it gives KNX a chance to celebrate three birthdays, so that's kind of cool in a way. So first off, Fred Christian started broadcasting on an amateur station September 10th, 1920, and that's what KNX is using as their basis for their anniversary. Now, that was an amateur station. It got officially licensed in... 1921, December of 1921, as KGC, which I think are kind of cool call letters. I don't know what it stood, you know, they were random back then, but I'm sure you could make something up.
But it was a three-letter one.
Yeah, three-letter one. And that was back, it's interesting, when he was doing experimental, he was broadcasting at 1500 AM, I think, whenever he wanted. And then when they licensed him, they stuck him on 833. By the way, ooh. 833 is like a certain number of meters. I forget what the exact thing is. That's why it's such an odd number compared to what we see now. But 833 kilohertz or kilocycles back then, that's where they stuck all the entertainment shows. The news information ones were at 619 kilohertz. And they had to share time. So basically, he got a half hour in the morning and a half hour in the afternoon, which to me kind of sucks. But that's what they're doing with all the stations back then. So I don't know this for sure, and I probably need to talk to someone like Jim Hilliker because he's such an expert on this. I'm thinking that they wanted more time. So they applied to get a second license, and that's what they got. In May of 1922, the company that he worked for, which was the Electric Lighting Supply Company in downtown Los Angeles, they got a second station. That's where KNX comes from. So May of 1922.
So in 2022, we'll be celebrating again. That's what
exactly.
You're saying.
That's what I said. They have three birthdays. They can really celebrate. So, and the way it works though is, and here's my thinking too. And it's all conjecture. I think they got such a good time compared to their other time. They used to have, remember, 2 half-hour splits. Well, all of a sudden they got a 1 hour block, 9 to 10 a.m., which is kind of prime time when you think about it. For back then, and keeping in mind, there's like, what, 7 radios in the world.
The guy
was doing it. Fred was doing this because he wanted to broadcast to people who were building kits from the supplies he sold at his store. So it wasn't a huge number of listeners. But still, I would tend to think that 9 to 10 a.m. is better than, it was 2 to 2:30 and 7:30 to 8. So 2 half-hour splits. So my thinking is, they get their second license. They say, you know, I still have to work. Let's do the broadcasting and be done with it. So they gave up the KGC license. Mm. And the FCC basically said, well, not the FCC, sorry, the Commerce Department, I think, was in charge of it back then, basically said, well, we're going to go ahead and let you assume KGC's identity. And they basically transferred backwards the original license to KGC's original license of December 8th, 1921. And since they did that, that's why they're calling the experimental the beginning. So
okay.
It's a little bit convoluted. I think it's okay. I mean, it basically, when you think about it, I'm kind of guessing again, it's all conjecture, but I'm really thinking that that's why they did it. They just wanted more broadcast time. And at the time, that's the only way you could do it because they seemed to give an hour's worth of broadcast time a day to every license.
So at that point in 22, they ended up with 1070. Is that where they ended
up?
No,
that didn't come till later. In fact, I don't have that in there, but I think 1070 didn't come until it was about 1940 or late 30s, early 40s when they removed it. They moved everyone around.
Okay.
And I think they went straight to 1070. KHJ, if you recall, went two places and then ended up at 930.
So they were first at one end of the dial, and then they were at the other end of the dial,
and then
right?
The middle.
And then they ended up in the middle.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So it's kind of cool, though. And so they have a lot of things planned for the birthday.
I was going to ask, what are they going to do? Stop news for a while and do something else?
Not really stop, but they're going to have drop-ins. And when you think about it, it's kind of a... it's kind of a news event anyway. I don't think it's that bad of a deal for a company to, you know, to hype their own history, because 100-year history is a lot, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So here's what they have planned. You know, they had some really big plans pre-COVID, but the pandemic has had, they have to really scale back because of access to people, access to staffing.
Sure.
And as he mentioned, this is Ken Charles, who's the manager. He says that I guess we're lucky we have three birthdays, September 10th, December 8th, 21, and May 4th, 1922. Because, you know, they can actually do more stuff if they wanted to. And I'm sure he was tongue-in-cheek when he said that. But
right.
Maybe they can do a little bit more when they have more people who can do it. So my understanding is that they're going to have an 8-part series looking back at the events and people who made up KNX over 100 years since 1920. There's going to be a 2-day thing starting at 5 a.m. September 8th, actually. And that'll run all 8 over the weekend. They said they're going to rotate and run hourly at 17 minutes past the hour. On the date itself, they're going to use the old imaging and jingles from the 1970s and create promos using long pieces of archive audio. Mm. And I also understand that somewhere in there, they're going to get one of the oldest known recordings of KNX, which I think comes from sometime in the 1930s.
Wow. Wow. Were they at 1070 at that point?
I don't think it in the 1930s. I'd have to look that up. I don't think it's until the 40s.
Okay. All right. Now, are they going to, I don't remember. Did KNX ever have a teletype sound in the background? Are they going to bring that back?
I believe they did. I'm not positive. It seems like everyone did. I still kind of miss that. Of course, if you ran it now, everyone would be thinking, what the hell is that?
Yeah, is it?
But one of the, I was actually thinking this one time, you know that thing they do, that Voltaire thing they do, that stations do? Well, they won't admit they do it, but they do it. They run kind of a weird tone in the background or do something so that they boost something so that it'll give them higher ratings theoretically.
And okay.
The problem is the system for picking up ratings doesn't work. And it doesn't, apparently it doesn't work much at all when there's breaks in the programming. So certain spoken programming gets kind of dinged in the ratings because it just isn't picked up by the portable people meter system.
Right.
So I'm thinking to myself, why don't they run the damn teletype in the background? You know, it doesn't necessarily matter if people know what it is, but it would be a lot nicer sound than a lot of the stuff they put under some of the things. In fact, when I finally do my review of the new station or the new morning show over at FM, one of the things that really drives you nuts is they use the crappiest music bed underneath them speaking when they're doing some of the things. And I'm thinking, my God, do you really have to use this music that just makes you want to tune out because it sucks so badly? You know?
Well, I think, you know, everybody's shooting for a younger audience. I don't know that a teletype is going to bring that audience in.
But would anything bring them in? I mean, the teletype, at least you could have silent enough in the background where it's just kind of a background noise and people might wonder, hey, what is that? Someone could say, oh, that's the machine that gives them the news. You know, it would be more like white noise, and white noise is less objectionable than really shitty music.
Good point. While we're still on the subject of KNX, the ratings came out. That wasn't part of your column, and the talk stations took a dive this time.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, I didn't look that closely, but that mirrors what was happening in other parts of the country. I wanted to put that in the column once, and I think we spoke about it here, that people are kind of getting tired of COVID.
You're right.
You know, and I think that that's one of the reasons, and I think they're finding an escape away. That being said, my understanding is that 25 to 54 KABC actually beat KNX from about noon to 6 or something.
Wow.
So
that's pretty amazing. Yeah. And K Earth ended up back at the top.
Yeah. And I don't think that that's that unusual because.
No, not at all.
Just like the old KRLA, K Earth is a kind of a generational station. The kids will listen to it. The parents will listen to it. The grandparents will listen to it. A different group of grandparents because, you know, my grandparents would have been in the, you know, the 1910s.
Right.
People that listened to K Earth in the old days, like 50s, and now they're playing mainly 80s.
Right. And I've got two grandsons that know all the songs, the lyrics from the 80s, from listening to K Earth. So
it, it cracks me up. My wife and I were talking about that the other day, because a lot of the 80s songs are kind of fun. And then you have some of those that come on and you think, wow, this is really bad.
Well, they must not be too bad. Otherwise, they wouldn't have researched well enough to make it on the air. So
that's true. But, you know, when David Bowie's Modern Love comes on, I used that as an example the other day. There's so many great David Bowie songs.
Why that one?
Is not one of them.
Okay, the next part of your column also takes us back, and this is courtesy of our pal Dave Beezing, right?
Yep. Yeah, he found something that made me realize this is kind of what I want to do. It's not exactly what I want to do, but you're going to help me with it someday. It's a 1940s radio recreation. What I don't know about it, and I want to get more information, is did this station really ever exist? Website is 1940sradio.wlvn.com, all one word. There's a link.
Okay.
Column, obviously. And what they do is they have the music from the 40s, as well as some of the programs from the 40s, like, you know, the Dragnet and Burns and Allen.
Right.
My favorite comedian of all time, Jack Benny. Those shows are on, and they tried to put them on at the roughly equivalent time that they would have aired nationally. A little bit hard to do because the time zone changes. So,
sure.
You know. But, you know, the shows are there. What I didn't hear when I was listening to the music, and I will admit that I didn't listen long, 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 is that I didn't hear any announcers for the music. I would like to hear if it's possible. And I know they're around because remember that little AM station in West Covina that used to be on? My mind is blanking. It was 900 AM, I think. Robert Burdett owned it. What is the name? KGRB. They had recordings from the 30s and 40s, probably from some old, maybe even acetate discs from the broadcasts they might have.
Right.
Had.
Right.
And then, of course, they had some DJs that worked in the studios and also announced the music. I'm just not a big fan of recreations that are just jukeboxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, KNX FM is kind of that, but they also have the jingles. They also have the features. They, you know, and it was an automated station to begin with. So it's
sure.
Once they get the voice tracking in, it'll be just like it was originally.
Right.
But the stations that just play music and throw in a jingle every once in a while, that's not what I would like.
It's a jukebox.
Yeah. I would rather have someone come on and talk, and maybe even, you know, in this case, you could pretend it's a certain day.
Sure.
News events of the day. I think that would be phenomenal.
Yeah. Radio theater of the mind. That's what it's all about.
Exactly. So I think it might be fun. You know, we have to, of course, figure out the licensing and things like that. But wouldn't it be fun to do that with stations that, you know, you could do that with a KMET. You could probably get some of the KMET people to come back if they're not stoned still. Actually, maybe if they are stoned, maybe they would. they could, you know, basically do an on-air, and I'd like to do it live if possible. But if it has to be voice-tracked, it has to be voice-tracked. You know, recreation of that and run it 24 hours a day if you can. Obviously, the KHJ one that I want to do would be great. And this made me think, God, you have such a history with stations like KHJ. You could even do when they played, you know, big band music and things like that.
Right.
The jingles are there, you know.
Yeah. How old is KHJ? And we talked about KNX. Are they, they've got to be coming up on
They're the about the same age. They all kind of went on within months of each other. So KHJ, I don't know what their experimental station dates back to, but it's pretty close.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Anything else happening in the world of radio that we need to talk about this week?
Probably nothing important.
Well, then if there was something important, we'll put it off until next week.
That's right.
Thanks, Richard. See you next week.
All right. All right.